They were doing more than changing clocks in Europe over the weekend.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Well, as we adjusted our clocks back 1 hour Saturday night, Greece was preparing to move forward to a new government. They'll have a new prime minister to steer the bailout package through. But just as Greece moves forward, Italy moves back into trouble. And the Italian leader, Silvio Berlusconi, may be about to go the way of the soon-to-be former prime minister of Greece. Marketplace's Stephen Beard explains.
The Greeks gave us all the words we use to talk about crisis, like disaster and catastrophe. The Romans, meanwhile, gave us a short, sharp word expressing finality. Exit, meaning he leaves. This word could soon come into play in modern Rome. Prime Minister Berlusconi could be about to quit the political stage. He has to pass the EU's controversial bailout package through his parliament. But tomorrow he faces a vote which could, as in Greece, trigger a vote of confidence. If so, he'll likely lose and be forced to resign, says Vincenzo Scarpetta of the Open Europe think tank. And if he does resign, the rest of Europe will breathe a sigh of relief.
In the eyes of Europe, in the eyes of the markets, the problem is Berlusconi. It's just a matter of credibility.
But he says even if Berlusconi does leave, the crisis seems likely to rumble on. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, Barnes & Noble is making what it's calling a very special announcement this morning. Analysts expect the company will launch a new version of its Nook e-reader to compete with the Kindle Fire and, of course, the iPad. It's Barnes & Noble's latest attempt to avoid the fate of its ex-rival Borders. For an independent take on this, we're joined now by Nancy Bass Wyden. She owns the Strand Bookstore here in New York, which is one of the world's largest used bookstores. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I want to start by asking you to be a representative of the book industry and tell me a question that I've been wondering about for a while. Why has Barnes & Noble survived and Borders gone out of business?
I think a lot of it has to do with management. We've hired a lot of employees, and so I've gotten a lot of inside information on that. And Barnes & Noble's came in very aggressively with the e-books and developing the Nook and devoting space to the Nook.
Well, you haven't gone the e-reader route, right?
We have not. There's really not opportunity for independent bookstores to aggressively go the e-reader Nook. I think Amazon and Barnes & Noble just really have all the market. Anything that's left for us through Google Books seems to be crumbs. But that's really not our gig.
Well, how's business for you?
Business for us is doing great. In-store is up 8%. You know, I really believe that people don't want to be tethered to their devices at home, and they'll always seek a place or shopping experience with a community of book lovers.
Quick lightning round. Do you have a Kindle, an iPad, or a Nook?
I have an iPad.
Okay. And do you read books on it, or is it too hard with the backlighting?
I don't like it.
Favorite book of the year?
I love Mark Twain's autobiography.
What would your advice be to Barnes & Noble to stay afloat? No?
I don't know. I've never been asked that question. I mean, I think that they have all these stores. They have the Nook. I would say that they should go after, you know, recommendations. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're at the Strand. You walk in the store and we have such educated book lovers. Almost everybody's majored in literature at the Strand. I want Barnes & Noble to stay afloat because I want more people to read books, whether they're buying them from the Strand or from anywhere. That would make me happy.
Nancy Bass Wyden is owner of the Strand Bookstore in New York. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down around the world this morning, between 1 and 2% lower across Europe right now. But you know what's up? Warren Buffett's appetite for investment. His company, Berkshire Hathaway, invested $24 billion last quarter as markets wobbled. That was the most in at least 15 years. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 61 points, about 0.5%, to close at 11,983.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is back at Harvard today for the first time since he dropped out. And apparently, the Zuck has some regrets, as Kurt Nickisch from WBUR reports.
Mark Zuckerberg cooked up his social networking website in his Harvard dorm room, but went on to build his company in Silicon Valley. So recently, a bunch of Valley entrepreneurs did a double take when they heard him say this.
Honestly, if I were starting now, I just would have stayed in Boston.
Zuckerberg was really complimenting Boston on the loyalty I think we all have here.
That's Jason Ivanish, a 26-year-old entrepreneur in Boston, where tech workers stay with their companies longer. In Silicon Valley, software developers hop from job to job for the best offer, and that turnover makes it harder for companies to grow. So Zuckerberg is back in Boston to recruit.
We all feel a little bit vindicated.
Katie Ray runs a tech startup accelerator here, but in some ways she wishes Boston were more like Silicon Valley.
What's been missing in Boston has been this like massive turnover and learning opportunities.
Learning opportunities that come from moving quickly onto the next challenge, even though tech companies would rather their workers stay put. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
And finally, you've heard of car companies teaming up with brands like Eddie Bauer or Gucci, brands that appeal to certain customers. Well, today comes the launch of an unusual pairing. Jeep is launching the limited edition Wrangler Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 to coincide with the launch of the new video game of the same name. The new Jeep will have Call of Duty logos on the seats, on the dashboard, on the front fenders. It's being marketed as the toughest vehicle in the world. Any world. Man, it's going to be embarrassing when that thing gets a flat tire. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In France, bread is a way of life, and so are the bakeries that make it fresh every day.
They help to really construct the landscape of French ontology, of French being, of French identity.
But bakeries ain't 24/7, you know. I'm Kai Rizdal. Paris gets a baguette vending machine, believe it or not. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.